Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Hope your Friday morning is a good one so far. You are listening to Catholic Connection. Ave Maria Radio produces this program. EWTN syndicates it. Thanks be to God around the country and around the globe. My name is Teresa Tomeo, coming to you live at this time every single day. Good Lord willing, I have a great lineup for you this morning. Janet Miranda from the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, as well as Priest for Life. Well, the Flying Father has nothing on Janet in terms of frequent flyer miles. Janet has been globetrotting, and we're going to catch up with her this morning. Actually, it'll be afternoon by the time we speak with her, of course. And she is in England right now, in Leeds, which is, I believe, in northern England, if my geography is correct. She just came back from Amsterdam, where she was taking part in speaking in the beautiful World Congress of Families, which just wrapped up this week. It took place August 10th through the 12th in Amsterdam, and she was one of the speakers. So we'll find out how that went, and she'll tell us what she is doing in England right now. And then at the bottom of the hour, a real treat, quite a blessing, we are going to meet the newly installed Bishop of the Diocese of Oakland, California, Bishop Salvatore Joseph Cordiglione. What a great name. Just a wonderful man of God. He replaced, of course, Bishop Vigneron, who is now the Archbishop of my Archdiocese, the Archdiocese of Detroit. Bishop Cordiglione is going to be joining us on a number of things, but primarily we want to focus on a beautiful event coming up at the end of the month involving young people and the pro-life community. They're calling it a pro-life boot camp, and he's going to talk about that, and you can call him with your questions. Found out about it through a friend of mine, Joseph Murphy. I went to the diocese earlier this year to do a talk, and just had a great time. Or last year, was it? I'm trying to remember. Was it last fall or earlier this year? Time flies when you're having fun. But his family was so wonderful and welcomed me into that diocese, and now they have a new bishop who's doing wonderful things. And so Joe told me about the pro-life camp, and he was on a couple of weeks ago, and now we're blessed to have the new bishop of the Oakland Diocese on with us, Bishop Cordiglione. I have to find out what that means in Italian. I'm not sure, but what a beautiful name, and what a wonderful man of God. He joins us. It'll be bright and early his time at 6:30 in the morning, so we greatly appreciate him taking the time to chat with us. I want to remind you some good stuff coming up tonight, as always, on EWTN's evening programming. Of course, at 10 o'clock, you're going to have Defending Life with Father Frank Pavone and Janet Miranda. That's 10 o'clock Eastern time. But also on the World Over Live with Raymond Arroyo, the president and CEO of the Catholic Health Association and the president of the American Life League, Judy Brown. They're going to be talking about the Catholic response to the health care reform bill currently under review in Congress. Now, that airs, of course, at 8 o'clock Eastern time. And again, that is tonight on EWTN Television, Raymond Arroyo with the World Over Live. President and CEO of Catholic Health Association, Sister Carol Keehan, and the leader of the American Life League, Judy Brown, talking about health care reform. And then tomorrow, Raymond is going to be joining Father John Carapi in Buffalo, both of them shuffling off to beautiful Buffalo. And I'll tell you what, well over 10,000 tickets have been sold for the big event with Father Carapi. He's doing two talks, Raymond is speaking, and the whole event is going to be emceed by Jerry Usher, formerly, of course, the host of Catholic Answers Live. So it's going to be a great weekend, lots of interesting stuff coming on. And I'm sure that they'll be recording those talks. I'm not sure if anybody's going to be airing it. I'll have to call our friends at WLOF, Stations of the Cross, and find out. But you can check that out online, the event, because I think there are still tickets being sold. They're having it at quite a large location. I think they can accommodate even more people. So go to FatherCarapiLive.com. Father told me that's a website that's been set up for that particular event coming up this weekend. Father is actually going to be doing a meet and greet all day today in downtown Buffalo at the Adams Mark Hotel starting at 9 a.m. Well, that would be right now, 9 a.m. Eastern time. Right now, though, just about 4.5 minutes past the hour. It's a Friday morning, August 14th, 2009. Let's check your news for you on a Friday. Well, Janet Miranda will be giving us an update on this coming up in just a few minutes, but the World Congress of Families, which is an event she participated in, just wrapped up, and they've issued their Declaration on the Family. Catholic World News reporting the document defending the natural family as a fundamental of society and advocating its protection as well as its encouragement. The Congress, taking place in Amsterdam earlier this week, describing itself as the world's largest gathering of pro-family leaders and grassroots activists. The declaration adopted earlier this week, affirming the statement in the UN Universal Declaration of Human Rights that says a family is a natural and fundamental group unit of society entitled to protection by society and the state. Another interesting story on Catholic News this morning, an audit uncovering information that Planned Parenthood, one Planned Parenthood chapter of the Inland Northwest, has required unnecessary office visits by its poorest patients, securing over $500,000 in excess payments from Medicaid. The audit also discovering questionable billing, according to the report, and unauthorized staff prescribing and dispensing birth control pills. This is according to a story in Washington's Medicaid director who spoke with the Spokesman Review newspaper. And, of course, this is also on the Catholic News Agency website at catholicnewsagency.com. The excess taxpayer-funded Medicaid payments totaling nearly $630,000 out of a total of about $7.7 million in payments. Interest of 1% per month will begin accruing on August 20th if the clinic does not repay the state. Now, the audit was launched after staff with the Washington Department of Social and Health Services became suspicious of the frequency of clinic visits by Medicaid patients. While American Catholic nuns continue to undergo scrutiny from a Vatican investigation, the Leadership Conference of Women Religious invited Cokie Roberts, a political commentator and outspoken critic of the church, who has criticized the church's prohibition against abortion, contraception, and homosexuality. She's been chosen as their keynote speaker for their annual meeting, which is taking place, by the way, this week. Another Catholic group supporting our aging religious announcing it will host a dinner in honor of Roberts, who still calls herself a Catholic, as well as her husband Steve, in November of this year. LifeNews.com reporting this morning a new report relying on data from the Centers for Disease Control finding the states that accepted abstinence education funding saw greater reductions in teen abortions compared to the states that did not. The information provides another argument in favor of funding abstinence education programs. For teen girls under the age of 15, the CDC figure showing a 7.5% decrease in abortion in states rejecting abstinence funding, but a much larger 23.1% decrease in abortions among states accepting the grants. Politico.com reporting a new coalition today launching a $12 million campaign to promote the health care reform initiative and plans to spend millions of dollars this fall as well. The first ad targets the conservative House Blue Dog Democrats and swing senators. It will air in Alaska, Arkansas, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, as well as Maine, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Virginia. The initial ad expected to air for about 2 weeks. The coalition is funded by largely pharmaceutical industry members and is called Americans for Stable Quality Care. Well, sales at retailers fell unexpectedly last month, according to official numbers. And as Daniel Renchez reports, the number of people claiming unemployment benefits also went up, which is now dampening optimism over the immediate prospects for the U.S. economy.
Retail sales were down 0.1% after economists had forecast a 0.7% gain in July. That might seem like small change, but to market watchers, the dip is not a great sign. There had been renewed enthusiasm last week following a boost in car sales off the back of a government scheme called Cash for Clunkers. The fact that those claiming job benefits rose by 4,000 in a week is not helping the mood. Meanwhile, the giant retail chain Walmart reported profits that were higher than some had anticipated, but that's because they cut inventories to take account of weaker consumer demand. Daniel Renches, Washington.
California fire burning out of control in the Santa Cruz Mountains, now growing to 2,800 acres as of Thursday night. The fire forcing the evacuation of some 2,200 people, including this longtime resident who found himself fleeing a fire for the first time in his life.
I was up on my roof with my hose watering everything, and then I was down in the living room trying to collect picture albums and loading the car. And
as of last night, the wildfire threatening nearly 1,000 homes in the small community located in the hills above Highway 1. Fire officials saying the blaze is burning in rugged terrain and is being fueled by gusty winds and very dry conditions. The fire began Wednesday evening. Teams from throughout the Bay Area and Northern California are working hard to battle the blaze, and fire crews are using the Lockheed Martin Space Systems campus as a command center. Chicago's mayor asking residents there to turn in their illegal guns for money over the weekend. The program is part of a Chicago alternative policing strategy held at 27 locations, which will take place, of course, on Saturday. One Windy City resident, Denise Reed, says it's important for parents to keep their kids from getting guns.
And if you say nothing, you allow them to take that weapon and to use it and to take a life, their blood will be on your hands because you're just as responsible.
The city is offering a prepaid MasterCard to anyone who turns in the guns, no questions asked. Young people who focus all of their extracurricular activities on sports are putting themselves at risk. Researchers have found adolescent boys and girls who don't get involved in activities other than sports tend to have the lowest test scores in competence, confidence, character, connection, as well as caring. They have the highest scores when it comes to behaviors such as bullying, substance abuse, and depression. And taking part in sports activities, though, isn't all bad. The researchers say youth who combine sports with other developmental programs ranging from boys and girls clubs to 4-H and scouting have the highest scores for positive development and contribution and the lowest for risk and problem behavior. The researchers who tested more than 1,300 young people say parents should be certain that their teens balance taking part in sports and youth development programs. Doing so, they say, will enhance the health and well-being of their sons and daughters. And if you'd like more information, you can check out this report in Developmental Psychology. And if you're a tweeter, beware what you write and send on the popular microblogging website could land you in court on a defamation charge. Legal experts caution that tweeting is the same as putting someone in a newspaper, and the consequence of lying or defaming are just the same. William McGovern, an electronics law specialist at the University of Minnesota, says people are not taking any kind of care with what they're tweeting, and if they end up saying something that's false and harmful to somebody's reputation, it could lead to some big legal problems. He adds that some lawsuits have already been filed as a result of tweeting. It's the Friday morning edition of Catholic Connection. I hope you're doing well on this Friday, August 14th, 2009. We are going to go over to jolly old England and find out what Janet Morena is doing there. She just got done speaking at the big World Congress for Families. We'll get an update on that as well and get her take on the whole situation. And, of course, you can see her tonight on EWTN's Defending Life at 10 o'clock Eastern. We'll be right back. If you have a question for Janet, 877-573-7825. Stay tuned.
An historical event, a timeless message, and a new book that brings them together. Nearly 500 years ago, on a continent that never knew Christ, hope for preaching the gospel seemed lost. The bishop wrote the king to say only a miracle could change the new world. In December 1531, the apparition of Our Lady of Guadalupe to St. Juan Diego changed the future of an entire hemisphere. Today, she continues to be cause for conversion to millions who choose to follow her in record numbers. In their new book, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Mother of the Civilization of Love, Supreme Knight of the Knights of Columbus Carl Anderson and Eduardo Chavez unveil the historical context and show that the message of love from Our Lady of Guadalupe remains as relevant to our lives today as it was in 1531. Our Lady of Guadalupe, available now in bookstores everywhere. GuadalupeBook.org for more details.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
As Father Ricardo continues our study of the Ten Commandments, he looked at the Third Commandment this week. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Father Ricardo's title is, What Day Is It Anyway? Listen to Christ is the Answer, Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday afternoons at 5, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Christ is the Answer is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
Janet Morena, the co-founder of Silent No More Awareness, that website, silentnomoreawareness.org. She's also the executive director of Priest Your Life, and telling me her talk that she gave in Amsterdam for the World Congress of Families is now posted on the Priest Your Life website at priestforlife.org. We catch up with Janet Morena and her globe-trotting travels This morning, she is actually this afternoon now, is in Leeds, England, and she is taking part in a wonderful post-abortion healing conference with Dr. Burke and speaking to the clergy, I understand, there. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, it's good afternoon. Here in England. We just had lunch, and in another hour or so, it'll be tea time. But currently, as I'm talking to you and our listeners, Kevin Burke is giving a presentation on how abortion affects men. And Teresa will be following him with a presentation on trauma theory. And then I get up bad after that, of course, to talk about the Silent No More Awareness campaign and the voice of the men and women and how they feel about sharing and who should share and how those voices can be used, especially in churches. You know, Teresa, pastors who are listening and the priests, especially today we're talking to clergy, that they can have a woman who has an old man with an abortion and post-abortion story who's gone through the healing and knows how to, you know, we've helped them with the testimony. Nothing more powerful, as you know, than to get up in that pulpit for that post-communion talk and give that reflection. It's a very powerful thing to do. I think it will help the people in the pews, you know, women who are hurting, who haven't taken those steps to healing. So I'm excited here about the conference. We have close to 40 priests and deacons here at this session. And then tomorrow and Saturday will be an all-day conference open up to lay people of the area. So then they're expecting close to 150 people to attend tomorrow.
Great.
Yeah, and then Sunday, Teresa and I and Kevin will be down in London, and I'll be speaking in London on Monday. So pretty busy schedule.
Yeah, pretty busy this week, and then right after your daughter's wedding last weekend. Now, how did it go in Amsterdam? What was that like?
Well, it was nice. A lot of people attended the World Congress of Families, people from a wide variety of countries, and a lot of interest. You know, Priest Alive, we had an exhibit booth there, and we had a lot of interest. And, of course, Father Dennis Wild, you know, Associate Director of Priest Alive, he was there with me also. And a lot of interest in Rachel's Vineyard and Silent No More. From people all over the globe, practically. I think I've hit every continent, but they want me to come and help them start Silent No More, from Nigeria to Malawi to India. I mean, goodness, Teresa, I could be so busy running all over the globe. But there's a great interest. And the interesting thing is, for each country, we were talking about and strategizing how it's going to be different in each country, how the Silent No More campaign is carried out in that country. For example, you know, in the United States, it's very normal to get out on a street corner and protest or wave signs. And as you know, culturally, we're very used to that. But in other cultures, they're not. So we're going to explore ways of, you know, on our Silent No More Awareness Campaign website to have, which you do have now, flags for the different countries that are participating. But for those who can't speak publicly, you know, say in front of their government buildings, we're going to get them their testimonies, begin to get them up there in their own native language and really kind of culturally make that section of our website to the culture of that country. So we're pretty excited about it. And like I said, there's great interest in reaching out to the men and women that are hurting. Because even in countries, you know, where abortion is illegal, it still happens. And the sad thing there is it's so hard to get to the men and women that are hurting. And so that they feel that this internet-based, where we can have some testimonies up there anonymously, will begin to open the doors. So I'm pretty excited about helping facilitate that.
What were some of the other topics at the World Congress of Families? Obviously, you're dealing with life issues and families. These are
right.
Grassroots activists, and these are people who come together to support the family and traditional family values. What else were topics of discussion?
Well, obviously, they're talking about how the culture around the world, basically, you know, like the whole population myth and all that has over the years now, you know, affected the family, has affected people having children. And one of the things they previewed was a film called Demographic Bomb. We're going to have on our upcoming EWTN series Don Fetter, who's one of the organizers of this Congress. And this movie, Demographic Winter, we'll have a clip of it on our new series. And people who are interested in that information, they can go to Demographic Winter. .com. And there's a lot of information there about, you know, the practically zero population growth worldwide, how people are not, you know, having children, and therefore the replacement of the population is not happening. And it's not just in the United States, it's worldwide, this problem. So that was a big topic. And I guess the kind of language you would use to help combat the myth out there and the tools that people can use. And then there were different topics, of course, having to do with education. And there was, you know, a lot of the pro-life groups in America, different groups that you would be familiar with, were exhibiting there. So, for example, Americans United for Life had a booth, National Right to Life, Alliance Defense Fund. You know, so there were several pro-life groups, along with Greece for Life, they were exhibiting at the Congress. So the USA was well represented.
In terms of the interest, if people are really concerned about these issues, aren't they? Because you wouldn't see that, of course, watching the mainstream media, the MSM. But people are concerned about these issues and these myths that are being perpetrated around the globe.
That's right. You know, and that was the one thing that we did get a lot of interest in was from the media, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
There was a big media presence at the Congress, and I think I did at least 6 to 8 interviews from papers from France. I did an interview with Italian radio station. I mean, there was like quite a few countries represented that had media there, along with, of course, I did an interview for the Netherlands local radio and then their print journal. So I was at least encouraged while, you know, as you know, there's a real media bias out there and they're pretty liberal. There was interest in, like, hearing from us, you know, like, what do you have to say about this and what do you have to say about that? I mean, I was encouraged by that. Of course, we all have to see, like, how many stories were actually generated. Of course, as you know, just because they got an interview doesn't mean it made it onto the airwaves. Or
they can interview you for an hour and just use 2 seconds of it or one quote. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I was at least encouraged that there was a media presence. You know, they could have totally ignored the Congress. The only disappointing thing I think the organizers also felt, there were not a large representation of local people from the Netherlands. You know, they did have a couple of exhibits and, of course, some key leaders there. But usually at any international conference like this, besides the people that travel to go to it, at least more than half of the participants are people from that country. And I would have to say that participation by the people from the Netherlands was pretty anemic, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that was a source of disappointment. But other than that, it was a wonderful conference. I met so many wonderful people, and they're enthusiastic, you know. I met this Father John from Nigeria, and he was charming, and he said, "Janet, you must come to Nigeria. It's just not silent no more. And bring Father Pavone and more of your American friends." And the last day of the Congress, I actually gave him one of my suitcases, and he took a bunch of material from me and some of the other booths, and he said, "Oh, may the Lord truly bless you. This is like gold in my country," you know. And that's the one thing, Aunt Teresa, we take for granted, you know, all the brochures and the things we have. And in some of those countries that were at this Congress, you could see they were like sponges soaking up every ounce of information, you know. So it was, to me, a thrill and a privilege to be among, you know, these kind of people who are just, you know, they're all, and it's people of all different faiths. You know, this is not a Catholic conference. It was people from so many different denominations, and yet all coming together to realize the value of the family and protecting the family. So I just felt so privileged to be able to be on a panel to give my brief talk. And matter of fact, with me on the panel was Dr. Wanda Franz, as you know, from National Right to Life,
mm-hmm.
and also my good friend, Dr. Byron Calhoun, who specializes in the perinatal hospice, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at your talk right now, Janet. This is really good. I'm pulling up, by the way, it's on the homepage of priestyourlife.org. And I love this line, the idea that abortion somehow benefits women will be counted in history as the greatest hoax that was ever perpetrated against women. What a great statement.
Yeah, well, that was basically my talk, was kind of countering the liberal feminist views and showing how it's a big lie and what true feminism is. And I quoted, as you see there, John Paul II and Mother Teresa and a few other things. So.
Yeah, but it's just so, I mean, it's just like, okay, it's so perfect. It's so poignant and poignant. It's, women are not told of the many harmful physical and psychological effects of abortion. Many physical complications can arise, including miscarriage, ectopic pregnancy, sterility, stillbirths, bleeding and infection, shock and coma. And you go on and on to mention all these other problems, and you actually talk about the psychological effects, you know, post-abortion syndrome, grief, intense and lasting guilt, loss of confidence and self-esteem, mourning, withdrawal, hostility, rage, despair, helplessness, inability to forgive oneself, suicidal impulses. And also you mention here a preoccupation with death. And these are the kind of things that don't get out to the general public. And it's great that not only are you and Father on a national scale, But the fact that this message about this hoax that's been perpetrated, this lie against women right out of the pit of hell that you guys are getting out there on the international scale, too, praise God, Janet, for that, really.
Yeah. And well, one point I did make out to the group was that abortion, they have to understand, is a direct cause to the breakdown of the family. You know, all the things you just named, and then when women, like we know, go on to have children, they have bonding issues, you know. They also have trouble of developing relationships with men. I mean, so the things when you talk about why do we have more divorce, why is there a breakdown of the family, abortion is definitely like the underpinning thing for all of that. And so I think for me to be there and represent the abortion issue, I think was a privilege and an important issue. Because, like you said, they'll cover all these other issues having to do with the family, but they really will have to see that abortion really is a direct attack on the family.
Mm. And you end by saying pro-woman is not simply a project, strategy, or package for the pro-life message. Rather, it is that message. Whenever someone speaks up for the equal dignity of the unborn, that person is advancing the status of women. Whenever someone reveals a horror of abortion, that person is counteracting the exploitation of women, so many of whom are deceived into thinking that abortion is no horror at all. Whenever the pro-life message is advanced, women are ennobled. For that, we will continue to work, and in that we rejoice. You go, girl. Woohoo. Go, Janet. Go, Janet. Did you have your cheering section there? Because you got to take me along so I can hold up the signs. Go, Janet.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, we have to travel together more, Teresa.
Yeah, we do.
Forget, it was about a year ago when we were in Newark, New Jersey on that panel. We had such a great fun
that
whole day.
Yeah.
And so if people really want to have a great time, have Teresa and I do an all-day conference for you. It will really rock the house.
Yeah, never a dull moment. So where are you off next to, my girlfriend? Where are you going now?
Well, on Sunday, I travel down to London. When this conference is over, I'm speaking to a group called Project Gabriel there, doing two talks, one, for clergy, and then a separate one for the lay folks. And then I'm actually, don't let Father Frank hear this, I'm going to do a little sightseeing with the Burks on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Okay, everybody, shh. What's that?
And then back to
you. Just between you and me, as Connie Chung used to say, right?
That's right. Just between you and me.
Well, that's good. So, do you get a little bit of a break? Because it can be exhausting, not only the traveling but the speaking, because you put, like me, you put your whole heart and soul and feet and toes and everything into it when you speak. I mean, it's you know, who we are, you know?
And you're speaking, you know, I always have to give you the scoop on what's going on. The first to announce that the Priest of Life is going to have a new Defending Life series in Spanish. It's called Defiendo de la Vida, starring our own pastoral associate, Father Victor Solomon, and it's going to begin airing on the EWTN Spanish USA feed August 30th. It will eventually air on the Latin America feed starting in November. I haven't gotten that date exact. And then Father Frank and I have our brand new shows rolling out on September the 4th.
Wow.
So everybody, starting September 4th, there'll be 13 weeks more of new shows on EWTN. So...
And we can get all that information on we can get all that information on Priest for Life, correct? And also EWTN on
your
television.
Yes, and also on EWTN's website.
Okay,
yes.
So when do you come home? When are you back in New York?
Thursday I fly back, and believe it or not, Teresa, I'm flying Friday morning with Father Frank to Dallas. We're going to be at Mark Crutch's place, Life Dynamics, because we have to tape some segments for Life Talk. Those of you who get subscribed to Life Talk, Father Frank and I have a 12-minute segment on that monthly DVD subscription. So I'll get home Thursday afternoon from London and Friday morning on a bright and early on a plane to Dallas, and I'll fly back Friday night. So,
oh, my goodness.
Pretty
you're
hectic.
Exhausted.
You yeah.
Poor thing.
Well,
that's good, though. You're getting out there.
It's good. It's good stuff. I'm going to tell you, the people want to know, how do I get my energy to do what I do? It's the people that I meet all over the United States and now all over the world. I mean, nothing is better than people who are pro-family and pro-life.
Yeah, you really do. Awesome. I mean, and I know this as a speaker, too. People say that to me. How do you do 2 hours a day on the radio and then speak and then do all this stuff? Well, it's who we are. We love what we do. And you know, we know the impact the church has had in our life. you know, and how it's changed. I was just talking to our new Archbishop Vigneron earlier this week, and I gave him some gifts and my books and whatnot, and I said, Your Excellency, the Church has changed my life, the teachings of the Church, and I'm just trying to use whatever talents I have, the little that God gave me, to somehow make a difference. And, you know, if I can help you in any way, you know, and that's how I feel. It's like sometimes I wish I didn't have to sleep. I could be doing stuff.
I know.
You know?
Well, you know, just feel like you have that same. You know, we just weren't so wise. We went away from the truth. We went away from the church for a good enough years.
All right, we're losing your cell phone connection, sweetie, but I know what you're saying. I can pick up bits and pieces, and you're sharing our little story and how when we do our conferences, we talk about how we fell away from the faith for many years and bought the lies of contraception and sexual promiscuity, and now we are back in the church and know the beauty of it and are trying to do whatever we can to make a difference. We're going to let you go. Safe travels. And
okay.
Tell Dr. There you are. You're back again. But safe travels. Have fun, and we won't tell Father Frank that you're sightseeing in London. We won't tell him.
No, please. Please, everybody, listeners, don't let on that on Tuesday and Wednesday, Jenna's going to take a break. Shh.
Okay, it's our secret. All right, God bless you. Safe travel, sweetie.
God bless.
Again, you can catch Janet Morena and Father Frank Pavone live this evening, 10 o'clock Eastern Time on Defending Life, and that's EWTN.com, the website, if you'd like to check out, for example, the time in your local area. Coming up, what a treat. We get to talk to the new Bishop of Oakland. He was installed as the fourth Bishop of the Diocese of Oakland, California in May. He actually replaced my new Archbishop, who actually isn't new to Detroit. He's actually a hometown boy. He served as a bishop here for many years in Detroit, Archbishop Vigneron, who was installed not too long ago here in Detroit. Bishop Cordiglione, I love that name, and I can't wait to talk to him. We'll be right back. Why are millions of children being homeschooled? Because parents want to be in charge of teaching their faith and moral values. Seton Home Study School can help you take charge, supporting you with a Catholic and accredited curriculum. In a national survey, 97% of Seton parents say they would recommend them to another family. Seton Home Study School, the leader in Catholic homeschooling for over 25 years. An information packet is available at setonhome.org or 866-280-1930.
During this recession, many investors are afraid to invest in stocks or bonds. It may actually be a good time to invest since prices are now low. At Ave Maria Mutual Funds, we believe our professional investment experts have positioned the portfolios to take advantage of the economic and market recovery we expect over the next few years. Now may be an opportune time to examine your portfolio and see if the Ave Maria Mutual Funds could help you achieve your goals. To learn more about the pro-life and pro-family Ave Maria Mutual Funds, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA to receive a free investor kit or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
When faced with dream-shattering infertility, many couples turn to in vitro fertilization without realizing the health risks and that some of their embryos may die. There's a better way, revealed in the upcoming movie Tiger's Hope. Your support is needed to help infertile couples choose life. Call SWC Films toll-free at 877-606-1370 or visit tigershope.com.
Minutes past the hour, you're listening to EWTN Global Catholic Radio. Hope your Friday is going well. August 14, 2009. My name is Teresa Tomeo. On the phone with me right now for this segment of Catholic Connection is Bishop Salvatore Joseph Cordiglione, and he is the Bishop of the Diocese of Oakland, California. Good morning, Your Excellency.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us so bright and early. I know it's about 6:33 there this morning, but we wanted to bring you on for a number of reasons. First, to say congratulations on your latest assignment, and secondly, to talk about the pro-life boot camp that's coming up at the end of the month for the youth. Tell us about that.
Yes, well, thank you. We're having a full day with the young people of the diocese to give them some, well, the boot camp already connotes the basic training. So basically to equip them to be messengers of the sanctity of human life. So equip them with the truth, or get them armed in that sense, and then get them trained so they know how to speak about it. So we have a number of speakers lined up on different topics to help them do that. We'll have mass together and discussion groups and question and answer session.
In terms of your involvement, obviously you'll be celebrating the mass with the young people, and then will you be giving talks as well?
Yes.
And what kind of topics will you be addressing?
I want to get them aware of what's going on in the culture and how the culture is trying to reach them and corrupt them at a young age, because if they can be corrupted at a young age, they will have them. And so they need to be attuned to that and aware. They need to strengthen themselves spiritually, so I'm going to urge them to prayer, participation in their parishes, frequent confession, and this sort of thing, so they can be strong interiorly to resist these inroads the culture is trying to make on them.
Where do you see these inroads coming from, Your Excellency, in terms of the culture? What are your biggest concerns? I know that there's a lot of issues facing residents in California, especially in your diocese, but from your experience as a priest and now a bishop, what are you seeing that has changed with the culture that makes it so toxic toward church teaching, do you think?
Well, the venues are everywhere you turn in terms of popular music, television shows, advertising. But most insidious is the Internet and the danger of Internet pornography. That can really corrupt a young man, especially, and it becomes very addictive. So I think that's what is most immediately happening. The underlying causes, we're really reaping the bitter fruit of those social revolutions of the 60s. I've often referred to this understanding of the human person, which actually Pope Benedict again speaks about in this latest encyclical, we have this sort of very materialistic understanding or material understanding of the human person without failing to see the human person as a spiritual, social, transcendent being as well. The irony is that in a country that is supposed to be based on freedom, a free market economy, it can end up harming people almost as much as the communist regimes of the recent past, which also had a material view of the human person. So I think it's this kind of thinking that has taken over the world view of people in our country now.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's that saying, those who don't remember history are, you know, doomed to repeat it. And you look at what's happening in our country now and the way we're going, and you think, you know, other countries have tried this approach, and they failed, as you've mentioned, you know, terribly. So what are we thinking here, Your Excellency? Why are we so many, you know, in leadership today, so hardened to what's happened in the world? We think that we know better than these people who didn't, you know, couldn't work, as for whether it's communism or socialism. But, you know, in many ways, people are concerned about this becoming a socialist country. Those things didn't work, and people suffered greatly for it. So why do we think we can do it better?
Because I believe you hit the nail on the head. We're not looking at history and seeing how we fit into this historical pattern. Once God is taken out of the public square, something has to take its place, and usually it's the state. The state or anyone or anything else cannot take the place of God. Everything will start falling apart unless God is given his due. That doesn't mean we're imposing a particular religion, but we have to abide by certain non-negotiable principles, which our founding fathers acknowledged in the Declaration of Independence. You know, self-evident truths means that they're within our nature, they can't change, and we must always respect them, that no one shall be deprived of the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
I don't know if you caught the copy of the speech that Archbishop Chaput gave to a Legatus group in Colorado Springs earlier this summer. It was called Catholics in the Fourth Estate. And he talked about the fact that our think tanks, our universities, and especially our media no longer even believe. They used to, you know, follow, as you said, the Founding Fathers' idea that there are these things that are self-evident, you know, the divine law, the law that's written on our heart. But now Archbishop Chaput is saying that, you know, those who are running things don't even believe in the natural law or any type of objective truth. And that has a huge impact on us because we're absorbing all of these messages that are coming from the culture. I thought it was a very very interesting take from an archbishop who really understands, you know, like you do, the media influence that's out there.
Yes, well, it seems all of the power players in the culture are of that mindset.
So how do we combat that, do you think?
pro-life boot camps and these sorts of things. We have to reach our young people with the message of the truth, help them appreciate the beauty of the truth, but we also have to help them to be strong to resist those inroads. So we have to reach out to our youth. We have to reach out to families. We have to educate the parents as well so they can be vigilant and caring for their children. It's the whole family has to be educated in this.
If you're just joining us on a Friday morning, we're having a great conversation with the new bishop of the Diocese of Oakland, Bishop Cordiglione. If you have a question about the pro-life boot camp, 877-573-7825. Your Excellency, is there information on the diocesan website about the boot camp?
You know, I haven't checked it recently.
Okay.
But I'm sure Joe Murray put some information on there about
it. Yeah, well, I would recommend that people go to the website to get more information, or you can email us and I can put you in contact with Joe. What's the age group for the pro-life boot camp, Bishop?
This is high school age children.
Which is
children,
a really crucial age.
Yeah. I think it's a good age to reach them, especially when they're later on in high school. They're mature enough to start thinking about important questions of life. They're settled enough into school to be able to be open to hearing about the faith, hearing about the truth. And I think they have an innate sense that something's not right in our society. This isn't the way things are supposed to be, but they don't know what it's supposed to look like. So I really think we have an opportunity to reach them and connect with them at this age and help them to see what's happening and resist it and start to build a culture of life.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of some of the other things that they'll be working on, when you say boot camp, there's going to be real training, isn't there, for them to not only learn about the pro-life teachings of the church, but how to take that out into the world?
Yes, they'll be told how they can talk about this, especially to their peers at school, how to defend life and how to be witnesses to life.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting.
They'll be role-playing, too.
Oh, they'll be role-playing. Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
You were mentioning earlier about the culture, and you were mentioning about the 60s, and there's all these stories that are propping up on the news and on the wires praising, Woodstock, because they're celebrating the 40th anniversary of Woodstock.
I was bracing myself for that.
Yeah. And you think about it, and you think, oh, my goodness. And they're doing all these surveys on people who still consider themselves hippies, and I'm thinking, where is the looking? When are they going to stop and look at the damage that was done during that time frame?
I've asked myself that question my whole life. I was growing up during the 60s, and I was in elementary and junior high school. And even then, I realized that there was something wrong with the way people were revolting against the social institutions. And I thought that people would wake up and get back to common sense, but it hasn't happened.
Yeah. Your Excellency, if you can hang on, we've got some calls coming in for you, some real good questions about catechesis, and those working with young people have questions for you. If you have a question for the Bishop of Oakland, Bishop Cordiglione, you can give us a call at 877-573-7825. The Pro-Life Boot Camp coming up in very, very quickly, and we'll give you more details about that when we return on a Friday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Bishop Cordiglione, again, is the Bishop of the Diocese of Oakland in Northern California. We'll be right back.
The Alexian Brothers, a Catholic religious order of men, look back on 800 years of service.
Our concern was always with feeding the poor, nursing the sick, and burying the dead. There was a time when most of our men were nurses. That's not the case anymore. We have MBAs, mechanics, engineers.
The brothers still serve the poor, the elderly, the sick, and dying.
I knew that as an Alexian brother, I could make a difference in people's lives.
If you're a man generous enough to serve the weakest, call toll-free 1-800-556-0332.
If God wrote a letter to you, would you read it? God did write a letter, the Bible. I'm Jeff Cavins, inviting you to come on the great adventure and study the Bible with me as we enter God's plan of sheer goodness. To learn how to bring the Great Adventure Bible Timeline to your parish or home, visit AveMariaRadio.net or call 1-800-376-0520. Please mention Ave Maria Radio when you call to see how you can receive 20% off your study materials.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild invites you to activate your faith. Put on the full armor of God at the Spiritual Warfare Conference Saturday, August 22nd at Sacred Heart Byzantine in Livonia. This conference features many talks from powerful speakers, all of them experts in the matter of spiritual warfare. For further details, call 866- 866-738-1207. That's 866-738-1207. Men and women are needed to audition for Celine Area Players' fall production of Arsenic and Old Lace, Sunday, August 23rd and Monday, August 24th. The auditions will take place at the Old Calico Cat Building in Celine. Call 734-355-8898 or visit CelineAreaPlayers.com for more information. You can find many more events at our website, AveMariaRadio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077. Catholic Radio, it's yours to keep and to grow.
With Bishop Salvatore Corleone. I found out the last name, but a beautiful last name, means Heart of the Lion, correct, Your Excellency, in Italian? That is so, so pretty. And he's actually, his family heritage is from Sicily, which is the large island right across from the southern portion of the country. My family background is from, at least my father's side, is from Reggio Calabria, and my mother's side is from Naples. So we're both southern Italians. Yep. But back on topic of faith, things that matter most. We have some folks have some real good questions for you about catechesis. Let's start with Roger in suburban Detroit calling on line three. Hi, Roger. Good morning.
Morning. Good morning, Teresa. I love your show. My question, Your Excellency, as an eighth grade catechist preparing students for the sacrament of confirmation, many times I have difficulty presenting the idea that pornography is sinful. They've been involved for many years thinking that it's just entertainment, not any different than watching a love story. How do I combat that type of mentality?
Both to perceive it as being just another legitimate form of entertainment, and in fact, they don't even use that word anymore. They now call it adult entertainment, which is always a part of the strategy to change the vocabulary so they could change people's thinking about it. I think it's up to you to figure out how to translate this into eighth grade terms, but Pope John Paul II's theology of the body and what it's based on is the philosophy of personalism is what we need to get people to understand. In other words, what pornography does is it turns a person into an object. Rather than a value in and of themselves, they're used as a means to an end. And it's very degrading to women. I think this point needs to be gotten across, how degrading this is to women. They're just become an object of pleasure. And by viewing it, one adopts that attitude toward women. So a man would see a woman as nothing more than a means to an end, as a source of pleasure, rather than someone to be valued in and of herself. Even if he has feelings of affection for her, as long as she's feeding that emotional rush, he'll stay in the relationship, but once the relationship becomes difficult, he'll dump her. And this is a very dehumanizing. It's not what builds a healthy society. So these are the big ideas. To explain it in terms that an eighth grader can understand, I'm sure there are people who would know how to translate that.
Roger, are you familiar with, and I don't know if you're still on the air with us, but are you familiar with the American Psychological Association report that came out 2 years ago on the sexualization of girls? Is Roger still there, Andrew?
Yes,
oh, okay.
I am.
I don't know if you heard about that, but I've
seen some of your books on your website.
Yeah, well, no, I'm talking about if you go to APA.org and look up, and they're about as liberal as a day is long, but ironically, this study they came out with 2 years ago was fascinating. Dr. Pia De Seleni and I have discussed it on the air and how similar it is in some ways to Humana Vitae, because it looks at exactly what the bishop is saying in terms of girls being treated as objects because of these images in the media, not just pornography, but let's say Bratz Girls dolls and, you know, the Victoria's Secrets type thing, that when young women especially are made to feel like objects, that it results in all kinds of emotional and physical problems. So that would be something that you can look at and kind of be able to, as the bishop is saying, translate that to a younger age. Because this particular study that came out on the sexualization of girls by the APA was done on younger people your age, the teens and the tweens. So that would be something to look at. And Your Excellency, isn't it interesting that here we have the APA 2 years ago, in many ways confirming what Pope Paul VI talked about over 40 years ago.
Yes, yes. And also another thing to point out is other studies show about how the male brain and the female brain are wired differently. And when a man looks at the pornography, that image gets seared into the brain. It's registered there, and he can't get it out. And it, that begins to build this attitude of objectifying the woman, of using her as a means to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it all the more difficult for a man to get out of it once he gets into it. But it's not surprising that these studies confirm what we already know by faith. I've often said about this, there isn't a conflict between faith and religion and science, or faith and reason. Science is our friend because science backs up what we already know by faith. And go into this whole issue of contraception and the harmful effects of contraception. Studies back up the harmful effects of contraception. We know that it's morally harmful, but it's also physically and psychologically, emotionally harmful.
Mm. In terms of the issue of pornography, it really is related. A lot of people sometimes don't think of it this way, Your Excellency, but it is connected in so many ways to the pro-life issues.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's a woman is designed for conceiving new life and nurturing new life. And if we understand that about women, it will change the whole way we structure our society. If a woman is just like a man but with just different anatomy, but there's no essential difference, then we'll have basically what we're headed toward now, practically already have a genderless society. But if we understand that as core to a woman's dignity, it changes everything about how we structure our society.
Yeah. It really is so simple. As you mentioned, you know, it is. It goes back, I think, Your Excellency, right back to the book of Genesis, you know, where we want to play God and we want to make the rules. And there's a reason why God says, no, you can't decide between good and evil. And we start doing that and we're on this, you know, demolition course. I mean, we are just killing our, literally, we're committing suicide, whether we're looking at pornography, whether we're looking at birth control, whether we're looking at abortion. And this whole idea, you know, that anybody can do anything at any time, you know.
Yes, well, you know, there's only one original sin because every other sin is a variation of that. You know, man makes himself equal to God and therefore does not need God.
Mm. What suggestions would you have for parents struggling to bring our kids up today, Your Excellency, in this over-media saturated culture and this toxic culture with extreme sexual content, violent content, desensitization to everything that we find sacred and holy? In addition to, you know, having boot camps like you are this month, what else can we do?
To parents, I would say, don't give up. You know, you have the most important job in the world and the most difficult job in the world, more difficult than my job. So don't give up. Be hypervigilant. Monitor your children's use of internet, of television, of other sources of entertainment. Be involved emotionally with your children, being generous with your time with them, supportive of them. Be very approachable so they can open up to you if they're experiencing problems or get in their situation of a crisis.
Mm. Great advice. One more call from Joel calling from Iowa. Hi, Joel. Good morning.
Good morning, Teresa. Good morning, Your Excellency. I have friends in other dioceses who bumped into resistance to good Orthodox programs like Endow and Life Team, actually at the diocesan level. I was just wondering if you had any advice for how to handle, you know, without being disobedient or disrespectful, resistance to these kind of programs at the diocesan level.
Thing would be to find a pastor that would be willing to work with them and promote it in a way that would be in harmony with the pastoral plan and vision of the diocese. To get a priest or so, priest or two or three of the diocese working with them and understanding it, and understanding how it could fit into the overall ministry of the diocese would be an approach today, especially a pastor who would be willing to pilot the program in his parish.
And Endow has really caught on, too. Endow is actually was started by Archbishop Chaput under his direction, and it's educating on the nature and dignity of women, and encompasses the teachings of the Church on women, and especially, of course, John Paul II and the new feminism. And, you know, if women, and I'll turn 50 in a few weeks, and so I'm about your age, Your Excellency, and had gone through, you know, the 60s and the 70s and bought into a lot of that stuff. And once I discovered the Church teaching, it was like, wow, I could have had a V8. Where have I been all these
yes.
years?
Yes,
you know,
absolutely. We need to educate people about the true dignity, nature and dignity of women and young people, too, so they can avoid all the heartache that so many women have gone through because they've been captured by the deception.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I know that you're extremely busy, and I appreciate you spending just about 30 minutes with us this morning. Give us the date again of the boot camp. I have Joe Murray's number and his email address so people can get more information, but give us the actual date and the location of the pro-life boot camp for teens again.
It's on August 29th, appropriately the memorial of the martyrdom of St. John the Baptist, here at our new Cathedral of Christ the Light.
Could you close us with a blessing, Your Excellency, especially being that we are entering into the Feast of the Assumption of Our Lady this weekend?
Yes, certainly. We pray that the God of all life and the giver of all good might bless you and accompany you all the days of your life, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much. Have a blessed weekend, and we're going to pray for you for your continued leadership in Oakland, California.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. God bless. Ciao. Bishop Cordiglione from the Diocese of Oakland, California, with us this morning. I have some information for you. I didn't want to wrap up the show without giving this because it's very important, and I want to support Joe, who's just wonderful, does so much great work in the Diocese of Oakland. He's the coordinator for youth and young adult ministry in the Diocese of Oakland. Now, it's within the Department for Evangelization and Catechesis, so you could go to oakdiocese.org, oakdiocese.org/pastoral/youth, or you can call or email Joe directly. Let me give you his phone number. It's 510-267-8389, and his email is simply jmurray@oakdiocese.org. Again, J. Murray, common spelling, M-U-R-R-A-Y, at oakdiocese.org. So for all of you folks listening on Wonderful Immaculate Heart Radio in Northern California, please give Joe a call to find out and get involved in this amazing boot camp. As the bishop mentioned, he will be there. He'll not only be celebrating Mass, he'll be talking to the young people. And this is a real great opportunity. And when you have the name like Pro-Life Boot Camp, obviously that is indicating just what they'll be doing, really giving them good, solid training to go out there and make a difference in the culture. And it's so important, and that's one of the reasons why we've written these All Things Girls books, to get this stuff in the hands of young people at an early age so they can avoid, as His Excellency said, all the problems that are associated with this culture. Been there, done that, bought the T-shirt, as they say. Again, call Joe Murray, who is the coordinator for youth and young adult ministries in the Diocese of Oakland at the Department for Evangelization and Catechesis, 510-267-8389. If you can't remember anything, just go to the diocesan website at oakdiocese.org and ask for Joe Murray. Give him a call, 510-267-8389. Have a blessed weekend. Celebrating, of course, the Feast of the Assumption this weekend, and we'll talk to you on a Monday. Have a great one. See ya.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
An historical event, a timeless message, and a new book that brings them together. Nearly 500 years ago, on a continent that never knew Christ, hope for preaching the gospel seemed lost. The bishop wrote the king to say only a miracle could change the new world. In December 1531, the apparition of Our Lady of Guadalupe to St. Juan Diego changed the future of an entire hemisphere. Today, she continues to be cause for conversion to millions who choose to follow her in record numbers. In their new book, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Mother of the Civilization of Love, Supreme Knight of the Knights of Columbus Carl Anderson and Eduardo Chavez unveil the historical context and show that the message of love from Our Lady of Guadalupe remains as relevant to our lives today as it was in 1531. Our Lady of Guadalupe, available now in bookstores everywhere. GuadalupeBook.org for more details.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
As Father Ricardo continues our study of the Ten Commandments, he looks at the Third Commandment this week. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Father Ricardo's title is, What Day Is It Anyway? Listen to Christ is the Answer, Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday afternoons at 5, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990.